cable, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again to the radio show. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast. We are coming to you on your very favorite network for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com. You can find us at redpillreports.com. And you can find us on the dial at 90.7 in the potentially snowy skyline of Denver, Colorado. That's right. Potential snow this weekend for you kids there in Denver, Colorado. Please do pay attention to your tender vegetation. Today is the eighth day of the fifth month of the 2015th year of our Lord, if you are into the whole Gregorian calendar thing. Again, the eighth day of the fifth month makes it a Friday, ladies and gentlemen. We have made it through yet another week. I hope you guys are doing well wherever you are. I hope you guys are geared up for a great weekend. I'm gonna do my best. It turned out to be Seattle today in Seattle and here in Missouri. So I'm a little slow, a little fuzzy. I don't know what it is about the weather. Kind of gets me down, not down, but you know, slows me down a little bit. So maybe we won't be a million miles an hour through the news today, but who knows? We'll see what happens when we get there. There are a lot of things to cover. I gotta mention too, obviously the election took place, or the selection took place yesterday in the UK. I got to apologize for my UK listeners. I am not going to stand here and pretend that I understand your political system over in the UK. I mean, you guys still have a king or a queen or whatever it is, some sort of monarchy system. I don't get it. I have enough difficulty trying to figure out who Loretta Lynch is, guys, and trying to figure out the corporate structure of our government. So I'm not going to be able to do a great breakdown. But if you missed it, KBS, the whole crew over at KBS did an awesome 3-hour show last night. And I got to be honest, man, they had Chris Everhart on, and astounding information was coming out of this gentleman's mouth for the entire 3-hour show. Just amazing. They were talking about the pedophilia issue there in the UK and how it relates to all these people who were among the selectees yesterday. Very, very fascinating stuff. And I'm telling you, you can't get information like that on mainstream media. And I would highly recommend, I'm not sure, Kevin's not quite in the chat room yet. I'm hoping he'll be here shortly. And maybe he can drop a YouTube link for you guys for that interview. But absolutely amazing stuff last night. The Whistler was there, Scottish John, Marty in full effect. And again, Chris Everhart pulling all the punches last night. Just absolutely amazing. I think I sat here with my mouth open for about 3 hours, just trying to comprehend all the stuff that he was talking about. And it's amazing to have somebody like that around that can just pull all that information out of their mind. Really, really great stuff. Really can't recommend listening to that enough. Also, today is going to be an amazing day here at the Red Pill. We do have Sharon Lynn Wyeth joining us here in about an hour. Very, very excited to have her. She, of course, wrote that book, Know the Name, Know the Person. She comes out of an education background and moved into this entirely new field. I don't know if you want to call it science or psychology or whatever. Nameology is what she calls it. And created this system where she can basically tell you a lot about your personality and the way that you're going to be feeling about certain things just based on your name. We had a lot of listener response last time we had her on the program. We'll definitely have the phone lines open. So once you guys get a feel for exactly what it is that she's talking about, you guys can call in, ask your questions. And also, of course, if you're in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com, we will take your questions there and steward them across to Sharon when she joins us in about an hour. I want to give you guys a heads up for next week as well. Hey, Kev Baker just popping into the chat room. Kev, I was just singing your praises for the outstanding program that you guys did last night. It was totally floored by Chris Everhart's information and just was curious, is that going to be up on YouTube? Because I know it was a selection special and maybe less relevant in terms of that, but the information that you guys were coaxing out of Chris last night was, I mean, absolutely astounding. So if you could give us some sort of insight in the chat room as to where we can find that, download the link, all that kind of good stuff. I really want people to get an opportunity to hear that. Speaking of things I want to get you guys an opportunity to hear, next week's schedule is outstanding, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be an absolutely amazing week coming up. I am so excited, not only because it's Friday and we have the Woo Crew tonight and we are moving. Yes, I want it on YouTube to answer your question. Kevin's asking in the chat if we want the show from last night on YouTube. I'm speaking for everyone when I say yes. Two of us, Art's agreeing with me. So lots of stuff you guys are missing if you're not in the chat over at truthfrequencyradio.com. It's a great opportunity to reach out to other listeners around the world, find out what's going on in their neck of the woods, and also talk to amazing hosts who just happen to show up randomly throughout the day, and Kev Baker being top of the A-list, as far as I'm concerned, in the chat room right now. So, man... good stuff. Okay, let's talk quickly about next week, because again, super high watermark. On Monday, Stuart Rhodes is going to be joining us, obviously the founder of the Oath Keepers. We're going to get to the bottom of this entire mine situation that's going on out in Utah right now. Again, we've had this story a couple of times, constitutional sheriffs stepping up to protect some of the mining interests that are going on there, and the BLM, who, you know, really on the surface have not existed as long as these mining rights that these miners are holding on to have. So, you know, we're going to get into another Bundy Ranch style situation, and Stuart Rhodes working with the Oath Keepers has actually sent some people there to help the miners. And we just want to get to the bottom of that whole thing. So I'm very excited to be welcoming Stuart Rhodes back to the program next week. Tuesday, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be here. I mean, talk about a high watermark, natural health expert, anti-vaccination expert, international troublemaker. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, you guys can call in with your questions about natural health, and we'll talk about everything that's going on with these impending mandated vaccinations that are coming down. California really, really hitting it. Rebecca Roth going to be joining us on Wednesday. I mean, I don't know. Do I have to even continue to comment about how much we respect Rebecca Roth around here? If you guys haven't checked out methodicalillusion.com, you guys need to do that. I would buy a couple of copies of these books, get them into the hands of people who may not have been brought over onto our side of the fence yet. The truthful side of the fence when it comes to what actually happened with 9/11. She has broken down some amazing information. I do also know she's working on putting a radio show together here on TFR. A lot of people are excited about that, so we'll discuss that. And she's working on a sequel because she is still discovering new information about 9/11. So I'll tell you what, Rebecca Roth, that's going to be an awesome show. Thursday, Carl Lehrberger is going to join us. He wrote that book, Secrets of Ancient America. He's also heavily invested in the hemp movement, understands a lot about industrial hemp, and is kind of at the forefront of that here in this country. So I basically told him after speaking with him on the phone for about an hour the other day that he was going to be a regular guest. Even though we haven't had him on yet even once, I told him that he might as well clear his schedule on a monthly basis because he's just that interesting. And then on Friday, one of my very favorite guests, of course, Andrew Gause, is going to be joining us again, a monetary historian, numismatic expert. We have so much fun talking on Fridays as we watch the global economy self-destruct, ladies and gentlemen, and that's where we are for next week. Cannot tell you guys how excited I am. And I have to say too, it's, these are huge shows that we're bringing to the air right now. And it's not because of me. It's because of the two guys behind the scenes. Jeff, our producer, being able to go out and get a guest list just like this for a week is absolutely astounding. There's some other really cool stuff happening the week later, but I'm not going to get into that right now. If you're curious, you can go to redpillreports.com, check out the calendar. But we're going to do some pretty cool shows here coming up. And I got a lot of love in my heart for these guys behind the scenes that make all this stuff happen. Robert, too, getting this website just absolutely stunning every single day. Could not possibly do this without those guys. So I requested that some of you send a little email of encouragement to those guys, too, because they do not get enough praise. So if you guys want to do that, hit that contact tab at redpillreports.com and tell Robert and Fletch how much you love those guys, because they work so hard behind the scenes and absolutely take no credit at all. And I'm very bad at giving credit when credit is due. So we're trying to rectify that as well. Anyways, that's where we're at today. And just as a little reminder, I haven't really talked about it a whole lot this week. We are currently doing a pretty massive fundraising initiative. We are okay right now to keep running for about another month, but we do really need to kind of hit this goal. And that's, you know, the result of hitting those goals is why we're able to bring massive shows like we are next week. I mean, that's really the name of the game here. I don't know anybody else who can get Dr. Sherry Tenpenny to come on their program. It's all because we have these guys behind the scenes that are just absolutely amazing. And unless we get support from the audience, well, it all kind of goes away, guys. So that's all I'm going to say about it today. If you guys want to hit the GoFundMe, there is a GoFundMe tab on redpillreports.com. You can also go to GoFundMe and just look for Red Pill Reports and you will find us. We are at about 17% of our goal. We do have a long ways to go and we're trying to keep ourselves running through Christmas so we don't have to worry about anything in terms of, you know, all the electronic doodads that we have to keep going here. Anyway, that's my tirade for this morning. Next week's going to be huge. Today is going to be awesome. I cannot tell you guys how much I appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat room. It's so nice to have the family along for the ride this morning, and I'm watching the live streams tick up, so I know that there are people out there listening. So let's hop into the news before I waste any more time this morning. Obviously, yesterday, the big news, Mr. David Cameron, British Prime Minister, pulled it off in a clutch. I thought going into yesterday it was going to be really close, but apparently not. Apparently they won by a landslide, and I got to be honest, again, I don't really understand what is going on over there. I will say that my Facebook feed this morning from all of my UK friends, they all had a lot of brief, very colorful, expletive-filled posts this morning. They were brief and they were like in the other language. And I guess that's the general feeling across the UK right now is that people are not really stoked on this. David Cameron has said that he will push a planned referendum on the country's membership in the EU. And he also did promise the Scotland area that they're going to have the most devolution anywhere in the world. He also said he would move ahead as fast as possible with a plan to give more powers to Scotland, which voted overwhelmingly for the pro-independence Scottish National Party. So that's really all I know about that. I'm hoping to get a chance to talk to Kev a little later and find out more. But I don't know if this is good news. I don't know if this is bad news. I don't know if you guys over there generally want to be out of the EU. So, you know, I can't really report much more than that, guys. And again, if you want to get a good breakdown of how these characters really operate, cannot recommend going back and listening to the KBS show last night because it was good stuff. Let's get into the global perspective here. Apparently, conflicts and violence have made 30,000 people flee their homes every single day back in 2014. This pushes the overall number of internally displaced people to a new global high of 38 million. 38 million people globally displaced right now, according to this new report. And the number of displaced people, just to put it into perspective, equals the population of London, New York, and Beijing combined. And this report came out of the Norwegian Refugee Council and also the Internal Displacement Monitoring Center. And this overview covering 60 countries says 11 million people were forced to move within their own countries just in 2014. As a result of these ongoing conflicts, a number of internally displaced people worldwide now stands again at 38 million. This is the highest in a generation. I agree with Artgloss in the chat room saying this is unacceptable. And I don't know what we're going to do about it. Obviously, the refugee situation has kind of come to a head there in the EU as all of these people are trying to leave war-torn North Africa and also the war-torn Middle East and are moving. I mean, I can't even imagine what would have to be going through your mind to leave the lands of your people and just get into a boat. And if and not even that, but pay in the exorbitant amount of money to get into one of these boats going to wherever in hopes that you're going to be able to find a new life in the EU. And the EU throwing a lot of money at the problem right now, but a lot of individual members of the EU. We had that story about the Prime Minister of Hungary saying, no, thank you. We don't want any of you people in our community. So the EU is still going to have a really big issue with this right now because a lot of these people are moving in that general direction. The worst countries apparently for this internal displacement were Iraq, South Sudan, Syria, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo, also Nigeria. And these five places actually account for 60% of all the new displacements worldwide. And Iraq was at the top of the list because they had 2.2 million people fleeing areas that fell under the control of ISIS during the last year. So you can tell ISIS really did come in and destroy the homeland of Iraq there. Also in Syria, the civil war has been raging for about 3 years now. They've seen 7.1 million people displaced. That's 35% of the country's population. Absolutely unacceptable global war, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of global war, the Yemeni government sent a letter to the UN asking them to quickly intervene by land, by using land forces to save, quote unquote, the nation. This constituted the cities of Aden and Taiz are particularly of concern, according to this letter. So again, so the Yemen's UN envoy repeatedly sent this letter on, reportedly sent this letter on Wednesday, and such a move because of this letter could provide a legal ground for putting foreign boots on the ground inside of Yemen. So there we go, escalating the situation in Yemen even further. And interesting that it is the exiled, it's not the exiled government that's asking for support right now. It is, it is the exiled government that's asking for support right now. They're obviously working in tangent with the Saudi Arabian airstrikes and all of that stuff that's going on right now. Anyway, we're not out of the woods in Yemen yet. There's still the global, the naval blockade. The United States came out earlier this week saying that we were going to be escorting the British ships through the area as well as the United States ships. So things are really still touch and go there in Yemen. And now we have, we did have that story coming out again from the Saudi Arabian news agency saying that there was an attack on Saudi Arabian soil at the, basically launched by the Houthi rebels. And so we thought at the time that could have been a Middle East false flag style event to get ready to put boots on the ground. And now we also see this coming from the UN and the envoy to the UN from Yemen asking again for boots on the ground. So I think we kind of can see which way the wind is blowing there. Also, an fairly unusual development here. Turkish officials actually confirmed that they have signed a pact with Saudi Arabia now to help fight rebels against who are all embattling against Bashar al-Assad in Syria. So this is a really unusual strategic alliance, but they're hoping it's going to provide logistical and financial support to the constellation of anti-Assad groups fighting on the ground. And this is all according to the AP. Earlier in April, it was reported on high-level talks brokered by Qatar to form a military alliance to out Assad. According to that report, Turkey would be providing ground troops supporting the Saudi Arabian-led airstrikes to assist moderate Syrian opposition against the regime forces. And the U.S. has so far refused to provide air cover to Turkish troops. I will get to a story here in the United States. We are, in fact, now, we've been talking about it for months, but we did, in fact, start training some of these moderate Syrian rebels in Jordan as of this week. So when I get into the national news here in the States, we'll talk about that. But again, you can see now that the escalation again against Assad starting to carry more weight, Saudi Arabia teaming up with Turkey, which is kind of unusual just in and of itself. They're not exactly the best of buddies, but apparently the enemy of their enemy is their friend or something like that. I don't know. Assad's a bad guy, apparently, even though he's really not. There you go. Also, North Korea threatening to attack the United States with nuclear weapons if we force them to do so. This was a speech given by the director, the deputy director of the North Korean think tank, which is called the Institute for Research into National Reunification. It's a nice Orwellian title there. He gave a rare two-hour interview on CNN just yesterday, and the network said it was only actually allowed to conduct this interview on the basis that two portraits of the former leaders, Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il, were visible behind Park during his filming. But in this filming, he escalated Pyongyang's fiery rhetoric by claiming that North Korea was nuclearly capable and equipped with long-range missiles that he could, he said that they could reach the United States. So I'm not really particularly losing any sleep over this, but just in case you guys care, the rhetoric is still flowing out of North Korea. Something that you might lose sleep about, I don't really know. I saw this story and thought this was very interesting. We talked about it in the science and tech news a couple of days ago, this Russian spacecraft that was allegedly plummeting towards Earth. That vehicle, the Progress M-27, was actually carrying food and fuel for the astronauts up at the International Space Station when it suffered a critical malfunction. Cargo vessel was loaded apparently with 3 tons of supplies destined for the 6-strong crew living on the orbiting laboratory. And shortly after reaching orbit, 2 of the capsule's 5 antennas did not unfold, which made it hard for the Russian Space Agency to communicate or control the unmanned vessel. So anyway, something bad happened. They decided it was going to be a loss, and it has been tumbling through space ever since, getting slowly closer and closer to the Earth's atmosphere. But there are rumors now, I don't know if this is necessarily true, it's coming out of the Mirror, which is a UK site. I don't know how truthful it is, but rumor now that this descending spacecraft could end up landing inside of the UK today. They're actually predicting that it could end up where the Thames estuary meets the North Sea between Margate and Kent and Claxton there in Essex. So someplace there near, I don't know if that's near the UK or near London. I'd have to get more, we have to get some insight from Kev on this one. But, yeah, tumbling spacecraft could be falling on the UK. Maybe it will land on some pedophilia ring or something like that. But anyway, if you're in London today, keep your head up. That's what I'm saying. That's what's going on. Also, here's another story. I always like to start with the stuff that's not good and then move into the stuff that's kind of good and then get into the what in the world stuff. So we're kind of moving over into the, this is weird sort of things. We're only about a week away from the Cannes Film Festival. It takes place there in Cannes, France, right? And obviously France has been dealing with a lot of bolstered security measures lately after the Charlie Hebdo attack. So it makes this story just a little bit more unusual to me. On Tuesday morning, allegedly four armed men stormed into the Cartier jewelry store there in Cannes. And the heist that they pulled off lasted between 5 and 10 minutes, and the robbers reportedly got valuable jewels displayed in the boutique's windows before escaping into midday traffic. The amount of the take is estimated to be at least 1 million euros, according to a local radio station there in France. With increased security measures expected in Cannes following the Paris terrorist attack this past January. The robbery occurred at a busy thoroughfare in the city, which makes it really unusual. And it's also directly across the street from the Carlton Hotel, where many of these Hollywood stars and executives are going to be staying during this festival. And this is also not the first time high-priced jewels have been targeted by thieves in Cannes. Back in 2013, Chopard pieces, estimated at about $1 million, were stolen from the safe of a hotel room while the festival was taking place. And only a few days later, a Grisogono diamond necklace valued at about $2 million was lifted during a soiree at the Eden Rock Cap d'Antibes Hotel, while guests like Sharon Stone and some other lady who I can't pronounce her name, they were all there. So there you go. But this is the biggest Cannes take in recent years. The largest one was the 2013 one at the Carlton, where an unarmed masked man leapt through a ground floor window into a private jewelry sale, and he walked away unscathed with an estimated $100 million in valuables. And that heist is considered to be one of the biggest in French history. The suspect has yet to be arrested, and a lot of people think that could have been part of the famous or infamous Pink Panther organization. And that's one of the things I wanted to bring up about this was just I wonder if this robbery yesterday at Cartier was also part of the Pink Panther operation. Kind of cool stuff going on there, I guess, if you're into jewelry heists. Okay. Also, an unusual story coming out of Rome's Key Airport yesterday. Rome's Key Airport, I can't pronounce that because it's in Italian, but they closed their entire airport yesterday after a massive fire broke out in an underground baggage storage area shortly after midnight. At least 3 people suffered from smoke inhalation, and a fire brigade official said all of this to Reuters, saying that the terminal buildings were all evacuated. It was in the International Terminal Building, which is unusual, broke out in Terminal 3, and the cause of the fire is still currently unknown at this point. So was it a potential terrorist attack gone wrong? Kind of unusual that a fire of that size, they ended up having 20 different fire trucks responding to that fire. Unusual that they would have that large of a fire breakout in a baggage area, and not a whole lot of news coming out about it. Still don't have any real updates regarding what happened there, but certainly an unusual thing. Also have to talk a little bit about earth changes today. There was another massive earthquake in Papua New Guinea yesterday, 7.2 striking off of the coast there, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. This struck about 90 miles southwest of the town of Arawa and is relatively shallow at only about 6 miles deep. No immediate reports of damage or casualties. I'm sure a lot of people in Papua New Guinea are already on their toes. But again, that's like the third or fourth pretty large earthquake in the last week there in Papua New Guinea. We also had one in New Zealand earlier this week that was fairly large, if I'm not mistaken. So just something else to be keeping a mindful eye on. Let's move over into the national news right now. Probably the largest national news story here. I mean, this is big. A federal appeals court yesterday declared that the National Security Agency, the NSA, the program that they use to sweep up the and log Americans' phone calls in itself is illegal. That's what they're saying now, representing this most significant setback yet for the long-running surveillance operations. So again, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit of New York said the program exceeds the scope of what Congress has authorized under the U.S. Patriot Act, which the government has maintained permitted that massive data collection. And the statute to which the government points have never been interpreted to authorize anything approaching the breadth of sweeping surveillance issued here. This is according to Judge Gerard Lynch, and he's part of this 3-judge panel that made this decision yesterday. So this is a big deal, a federal appeals court basically striking down the constitutionality of the NSA's broad sweeping, data collection program here. And the challenge was first filed by the ACLU nearly 2 years ago after the NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden disclosed the program's existence. And since then, a federal judge in Washington has said the program is likely unconstitutional and two other federal appeals courts are currently reviewing it. But here's where it gets bad. The court did not order an immediate halt to the data collection because the law that the government claimed authorized it is set to expire next month and Congress is currently debating an extension or replacement. So the judge goes on to say that in light of the asserted national security interests at stake, we deem it prudent to pause to allow an opportunity for debate in Congress that may or may not profoundly alter the legal landscape. So basically what happened was they said it's not good, we can't continue doing it, but because Congress is currently debating some adjustments to it right now, they decided not to, to order an immediate halt to the data collection. So you can see really that we didn't really make that much headway yesterday. Now, maybe Congress will do something to mitigate this, but I imagine what they're going to do is they're going to do a rule change, right? And then that's going to end up going back through the court system. It'll probably take us another 2 years to determine whether the new rule change is constitutional. And that's how it works. They just kind of keep going back and forth. They're going to change it. And that's where the real power lies. And you can see that this court obviously had the ability to completely shut this program down, but they're choosing not to. So regardless of whether or not it's constitutional or not, we didn't really make that much headway. And again, I believe that the Congress is probably just going to alter the law enough that that the constitutional issue will be raised again. So it'll have to go back through the court systems. And meanwhile, everything that you say, type, or think about the internet for this, for the most part, is going to be sucked up by the NSA. That's where we are right now. Okay, we're moving on to we got to get ready for this 3-minute break, so I won't get into too much here because I'll get shut down. I do have some really good news coming out of Texas right now. Remember that guy David Simpson said he believed that he's a constitutional conservative, by the way. He opposes marijuana prohibition on Christian grounds. Remember that guy? Got some news about him. We'll talk about that. Also have some good news coming out of Massachusetts in that same arena today, and we have some bad news coming out from the Pentagon, not really surprising to all of us who've been paying attention for a while now. Anyway, we got to go to this 3-minute break, guys. When we come back, we have a lot more news to cover, and of course, Sharon Lynn Wyeth will be joining us here in about a half an hour. Know the name, know the person, have your questions ready, and we'll have a little bit more fun this afternoon or this the second segment. Good times, guys. Really appreciate you guys being here with us in the chat room, and appreciate all of you guys tuning in on the live stream. We got to go to this 3-minute break. We'll
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Exposing faux capitalism with Jason Earp.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And thank all of you guys who are hanging out in the chat room right now. Cannot thank you guys enough. All of you guys hanging out on the live streams as well. More than 1,000 on the live streams right now. Just absolutely awesome. Appreciate you guys spending your time with us here as we try and figure out exactly what in the world is going on. We had talked a little bit about the escalation going on in Syria between Turkey and Saudi Arabia. And just to follow that up with some news here from the United States, in the Pentagon has come out saying that they have begun training the first group of Syrians to fight the Islamic State militants, according to Defense Secretary Ashton Carter. And he again announced this just yesterday. So right now there are about 90 members of the first training class, and the training and all of that is taking place in Jordan. Will take months, according to Ashton Carter. Members of the force will be paid. It's not clear currently how much. It was also not determined yet how the money will be dispersed. So they're apparently going to be provided air cover and possibly medical evacuation should something go wrong. And so they asked Mr. Carter if the United States would be responsible for war crimes committed by these moderate rebels that we are training right now. And Carter replied that they are selected and vetted for their adherence to law and will be trained to conduct themselves appropriately. So I'm sure all of you guys have a nice warm fuzzy feeling in your heart right now for these people that are being trained to act and conduct themselves appropriately. Speaking of conducting themselves appropriately, there has been a new audit by the U.S. Department of Defense that has reportedly revealed that the Pentagon employees themselves have been using government credit cards to gamble and pay for quote unquote other adult activities, including, yes, escort services, ladies and gentlemen. This government travel charge transactions audit was conducted by the Office of Inspector General, found that civilian and military employees have been using their cards at casinos and for escorts in Las Vegas and Atlantic City. And the officials said that taxpayers didn't necessarily pay for the charges because the card holders pay their own bills and then submit receipts to be reimbursed as business expenses. And he speculates that many of the employees may have used their cards to shield those activities from their spouses. So I don't know if that's necessarily a good shield to this activity, saying that the people who we are using through the Department of Defense at the behest of the Pentagon potentially have such low moral standards that they would be using their government cards to hide these illicit activities from their spouses. But that's essentially what the Pentagon Defense Department officials are saying right now. And that, to me, again, not really a silver lining in this particular one. The Pentagon spokesperson also confirmed the existence of the audit, but said she wasn't authorized to speak about it until later this month. So apparently it will be released later this month. But the official did also confirm the accuracy of the report and said that they did not know exactly how many people were involved. They also declined to elaborate on what the other adult activities actually entailed. But I think we can probably see pretty clearly what that is. Also, speaking of people not behaving themselves properly, more than a dozen law enforcement officers, including 11 in North Carolina, have been arrested in a very large government sting that included the FBI and the government announced all of this just yesterday. Thomas Walker, who is a U.S. attorney for the Eastern District there in North Carolina, said multiple people were arrested Thursday morning in a major sting of cocaine and heroin trafficking operations. And these included five current members of the Northampton County Sheriff's Office, and they were charged with trafficking cocaine and heroin up and down the I-95 corridor. Walker said that there were arrests at the airport in the Halifax County and also a warehouse in Rocky Mount. The undercover operation allegedly had been going on for more than a year and a half. And all total, eight current or former officers were arrested, three correctional officers, two Virginia prison state officer employees, and one 9/11 dispatcher there in Northampton County, all under arrest for trafficking cocaine and heroin up the I-95 corridor. Sounds like a great job if you can get it. And I gotta say, too, I'm not anti-corruption, ladies and gentlemen. I just want more opportunity to participate in it. That's all I'm saying. But again, it just shows you really where the motive behind this ridiculous drug war actually comes from. When there's, when there is prohibition, there's obviously a ginormous black market. And the people who are closest to that black market are the ones that often get swept up in it. So here we see another group of law enforcement officers not doing the protect and serve motif that that they espouse to be doing. Also, I wanted to draw some attention to this story that came out of Paradise Valley, Arizona. The city of Paradise Valley has apparently added cactuses, I guess we could say cacti, with cameras in them over the last few days, and residents were kind of like, what in the world is going on? So Fox 10 there in Phoenix tried to do a fairly exhaustive investigation. They've talked to people at City Hall. They've talked to the police officers. They've talked to the police officers union, and it took them about a week until anybody would actually speak to them. And it turns out that the only guy who really would was the town manager. And essentially the long story here, short, is that the town is installing a whole slew of license plate readers, and they wanted them in so that they could vet them before there was any type of public commentary on it. So again, if you're there in Paradise Valley, just outside of Arizona, just outside of Phoenix there in Paradise Valley, you're being tracked right now via your license plate, and they weren't going to tell you about it. So if you're, maybe you want to get involved if you're in the local community there. I don't know. But again, they didn't do a very good job of hiding these things. They put fake cactuses in with cameras in them, and they're pretty darn obvious. But, I guess if you weren't really paying attention, you might not know it and might not know that all of your movements are being tracked. And just knowing that your movements are being tracked obviously puts a chill on your First Amendment right to assemble. So I don't like that and wanted to put that into the public domain so you guys knew about that. Probably a good chance to get involved. Also, we had the story talking about what's going on in Texas right now. I really like this. And again, I know I'm pigeonholing myself, but, all bets are off. We've been on the air for 6 months. You guys know who I am at this point. I'm not ashamed of anything. Anyway, remember this guy, David Simpson? He was a self-described constitutional conservative who opposed marijuana prohibition based on Christian grounds, and he wanted to legalize the plant in Texas. Well, yesterday, his legalization bill, which eliminates marijuana offenses except for sales to minors, from the Texas Criminal Code, it actually cleared the House Criminal Jurisprudence Committee, which now makes it theoretically possible that it will actually get a floor vote. More importantly than that, Simpson's bill, the House Bill 2165, again, if you're down there in Texas, that might be something you want to support. It's the third marijuana reform measure to win committee approval just this week. On Monday, the Criminal Jurisprudence Committee voted 4-2 in favor of House Bill 507, which would make possessing up to an ounce of marijuana a civil offense punishable by a $100 fine. Currently, possession of 2 ounces or less is a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of up to $2,000 and a jail sentence of up to 6 months. And House Bill 507, which was introduced by State Representative Moody, presumably has a better shot than this House Bill 2165. According to a 2013 survey by the Public Policy Polling, they found that 60% of Texas voters favored decriminalization of possession of up to an ounce, while 41% strongly supported treating marijuana like alcohol, and another 17% somewhat supported that policy. Also this week, bills aimed at legalizing medical use of low THC, high CBD cannabis cleared committees in the House and the Senate. And then late last night, after this article broke, the Texas Senate actually did approve yesterday the medical marijuana bill by a vote of 26-5. So medical marijuana also moving forward there in Texas. But again, David Simpson's bill out of committee at this point does have an opportunity to move to the floor. That again is House Bill 2165. If you're down in Texas, would highly, highly recommend supporting that. Also, if you're in Massachusetts right now, there's another gentleman here I think could use some support. This is Police Chief Leonard Campanello. He is of Gloucester, and that's a small town there in Massachusetts. This small town is taking enormous steps towards the peaceful resolution of this failed war on drugs. And this is what the police chief said yesterday. He says, any addict, and this is going to take place, pardon me, on beginning the June 1st of this year. This is when this new policy is taking place. He says, any addict who walks into the police department with a remainder of their drug equipment, like needles or whatever, or the drugs themselves, and asks for help, they will not be charged. Instead, they will walk them through a system towards detox and recovery. He says, anybody who comes into the department will be assigned an angel on the spot who will help them through the process, and the department will then refer them to a local clinic. And expanding on this policy, he says this. He says, I've arrested and charged many addicts and dealers, and I've never arrested a tobacco addict, nor have I ever seen one turn down for help when they develop lung cancer, whether they have insurance or not. And says the reason and the difference in care between a tobacco addict and an opiate addict is stigma and money. And he says these are petty reasons to lose a life. And I absolutely 1,000% agree with him. So if you're there in Massachusetts, I would just get involved. See if you can find this guy's Facebook page. Again, is Police Chief Leonard Campanello of Gloucester there in Massachusetts. Send him an email of encouragement, because that's the kind of change that we need. And we need the police departments to take it upon themselves to start actually doing something productive. And just as an alternate story here, something coming out of Hawaii I found kind of interesting. The Hawaiian legislature passed yesterday a new bill to set a goal to get 100% of its electricity from renewable energy sources by the start of 2045. And these goals leading up to that figure are 30% by 2020, 70% by 2040. And currently right now, Hawaii generates about 22% of its electricity from renewable resources. So if you're a big environmental person out there, that story might make you happy. And if you're somebody who wants to support Hawaii in that, we recommend to do it. Let's move into the markets right now. Big day in the markets here. The Dow Jones, I'm telling you guys, happy days are here again. 18,184 up nearly 260 points today. The Dow screaming up today. I have no idea why that's going on. S&P following suit up 26 points today, 2,111. Dollar index is relatively flat. It's on the downward trend, but still relatively flat, sitting at 94.7. The euro, pardon me, is down just a touch this morning. We are at 112.40. Your Bitcoin is rising, but just a touch. We are at 238.09. Ounce of gold today is $1,185, so up about $3 from yesterday in early trading. Silver up just a touch today, $16.42. And your crude oil still sitting just a touch below $60 at $59.38 big pennies. Maybe truth will come through in the chat room for a BDI, because, again, my BDI feed for some reason is just never working. So that's what's going on. Had an awesome time hanging out with Kenneth Shorten Jr. yesterday, talking about the global war on cash as it seems to be accelerating right now. And I do have a story to touch on there. But if you missed that, definitely go check out Red Pill Reports from yesterday, because that was an absolutely amazing interview. We didn't even get an opportunity to talk about the TPP, which I promised that we were going to, because we got so vested in all of this war on cash nonsense. But so we're going to have him back on the program here post haste, because I would like to get to the bottom of this TPP before that is Nancy Pelosi'd onto all of us. But anyway, getting back to this idea of the war on cash, Denmark actually took another broad move yesterday, becoming one step closer to becoming the world's first cashless society. The government did propose yesterday new rules scrapping the obligation for retailers to accept cash as payment. Denmark yesterday proposing new rules removing the obligation from retailers to accept cash as payment. How ridiculous is that? The Danish government said that as of next year, businesses such as clothing retailers, restaurants, and petrol stations would be no longer legally bound to accept cash as payments. And this proposal is part of a package of economic growth measures. Yeah, I bet it is, which are being released ahead of this year's Danish election. It's aimed at reducing costs and also increasing productivity for Danish businesses. By Danish businesses, I can only assume they mean big banking industries there. So it's just absolutely crazy again. And they're selling it to people on the basis of convenience. That's the way it's going to be rolled out. A lot of the population there, almost a third, already uses an official Dansk Bank application called MobilePay, which links your mobile phone to other users' mobile phones or to a sensor at the till, which just allows you to confirm payments with a simple swipe on your smartphone screen. So again, a third of the Danish population already using that particular payment form. So that's basically where we're going. You can see how they're selling us as a convenience. It's going to be so much easier to use Apple Pay than carrying all this old colloquial cash around with you. And so Denmark moving forward on becoming completely cashless there. A lot of other nations toying around with that idea. Again, had a really long discussion with Kenneth Shortjen on that point yesterday. The Turkish Stream pipeline, back in the news net right now, will become fully operational by December, according to the head of Gazprom. So this agreement was signed by Miller and the Turkish Ministry of Energy and Natural Resources during a meeting just yesterday. So the construction of this Turkish Stream was agreed between Russia, Gazprom, and the Turkish BOTAŞ back in December. Pipeline with an annual capacity of 63 billion cubic meters will replace the South Stream, and that was suspended over the EU's stance on Russia. Turkish Stream will travel from Russia, transit through Turkey, stop at the Greek border, giving Russians access to the southern European market. And of course, this is part of the circumnavigation around the dollar dominance in the oil industry. It ties right into the development with the BRICS, the development with the AIIB, the alternative SWIFT system that they're going to be using to get paid and being able to circumvent sanctions that way. So again, and interesting that it's ending up in Greece right now, because Greece obviously right at the tip of the spear in terms of the decision-making processes that are going on across the EU right now. Still wondering what's going on there. Bring it into the United States right now, just as another ancillary little bit of macroeconomic news. The U.S. macroeconomic data has disappointed and weakened on an unprecedented scale this first quarter, and April data has not shown the post-weather bounce that all the sell-side economists were hoping for. And the absolute level of macro weakness right now is only a little bit weaker than it was when the Lehman crisis took place, ladies and gentlemen. So that's where we are here in the United States right now. No idea why the Dow is up so far today, but that's just, shows you how much the standard traditional laws of supply and demand, I don't think, really have a lot to do with anything anymore. Also, there's a lot of debate here in our country about raising the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. Hopefully trying to lift some of the workers here in our country out of poverty, but there's been a new report that was put forth by the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. They say a lone parent with two children would have to work 50 hours a week, and a one-earner couple, so a couple with only one person having a job and two children, would need to work at least 60 hours a week at that 10-10 level in order to just scrape by. And these hours are obviously not realistic for somebody who has just one minimum wage job. And a lot of employers these days trying to limit workers' hours and attempt to get them around qualification for benefits. And also individuals could cobble together several minimum wage jobs, but unpredictable schedules and multiple commutes can make that situation an absolute nightmare for families and especially single parents. So I always go back to this idea that once we understand that the money is not real and they're actually using your time, talent, and energy to float the fiat currency, seems a little audacious for these people who are running the show to turn around and tell you what your time, talent, and energy is actually worth in that currency without giving you actual access to the bond that was created when you were born. Anyway, that's another subject for a different day. But again, I think it's just a Mobius strip of Ponzi scheme here that we are being subjected to these really ridiculous ideas of how much our time, talent, and energy are actually worth. A little bit of economic news here regarding McDonald's. We've been talking about them quite a bit, the 900 stores that they're planning on closing globally, and the new British CEO who is trying to take this company in a new direction. They did announce yesterday another couple of little changes that they're making, and this is just stupid. I don't even know how else to say it. Kale. Yeah, they're going to add kale. That's going to save McDonald's, right? We're going to add kale to the menu. Kind of ironic also, because they did just run an ad that celebrated the Big Mac and was mocking trendy ingredients like soy, quinoa, Greek yogurt and also kale. But again, they're introducing some salads there in Canada and also in California that include kale. I don't think I would trust McDonald's to provide kale to me, but there you go. That's the big change that's happening right now. Let's move into some science and tech stuff. That's not the science and tech tab. That one is. Okay. Talking a little bit recently about the Tesla home battery system, just was announced on his website last week. Apparently, they have already had 38,000 Powerwall home battery reservations. Again, 1 week after the announcement of these home battery systems, 38,000 people have stepped into line getting ready to go ahead and purchase one of these when they do become available. So that's a pretty significant number, and I'm just kind of pointing that out. Would have been a great investment opportunity, and I still think Tesla as a company and anything that Elon Musk gets involved with. I know we had the discussion with Brooks Agnew the other day talking about how this Elon Musk character is really not a savory fellow, but at the same time, from an investment standpoint, if you guys are looking to, you know, get involved with the future, this Tesla home battery thing I think is going to be absolutely huge. And 38,000 other people apparently agreeing with me. So I definitely want one of these. I definitely agree that they're going to make the off-grid living for people who want to have a solar-only style home. It's going to make that a lot more possible going forward. And it's really not super expensive right off the top of the bat. So probably come down in the future. Also, interesting story coming out of Nepal right now, but it was surprising because I didn't realize this particular technology existed. There's a technology that was developed by NASA and the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. It's designed to save people trapped in debris in natural disasters. And this is Nepal, tragic earthquake that took place in Nepal. This is the first opportunity that this finder system has had its opportunity to actually go out and get used. And it was actually very successful. They were able to find four people trapped under the rubble for days at a time after this earthquake. And this is basically a handheld radar machine that sends a continuous microwave signal through the rubble. And it can actually detect a human's breathing or a human's heartbeat and distinguish it from movement of an animal. It can locate people hidden behind 20 feet of solid concrete or buried beneath 30 feet of rubble. And the person does not apparently have to be conscious for it to be capable of detecting them. So, you know, it's fantastic. I'm glad that they pointed it out that it worked in this particular situation. But I just thought it was really interesting that NASA actually had some sort of technology that they could see through 20 feet of solid concrete and detect your heartbeat or your breathing. Just kind of showcases exactly how much farther along this technology world is than what we've been led to believe. And just really interesting, you know, finding people based on their heartbeats under piles of rubble could let you know pretty clearly what they would be able to do if they wanted to come and search your home. It'd be a lot easier to see through your drywall than it is 30 feet of rubble. Anyway, that's what's going on there. I thought that was kind of interesting. Also, the designer of this 3D printed gun, we've talked about this story a few times. He is throwing down the gauntlet on the constitutional challenge to this issue. This guy's name, Cody Wilson, we talked about him before. He designed the first national 3D firearm based on a printer using these 3D printers. He actually then went on to WikiLeaks and shared the blueprints for the machine with the world, and he is now suing the federal government of hoping to keep his target in line here on this dream that he's trying to pursue. He's also trying to stay out of prison. So anyway, he developed this thing called the Liberator, which is the nation's first pistol exclusively built on a 3D printer. It was consisted of 12 separate parts made from plastic and a single metal firing pin. But within 2 days of publishing the blueprints on the internet, about 100,000 people in the world had downloaded them. And so the goal, he says, was to invalidate the government's unconstitutional hold on gun technology. But the government came after him full barrels blazing. They have basically threatened to put him in prison for 20 years and fining him as much as $1 million per download, because they say that that intellectual property actually belongs to them. So you can see there's a pretty substantial battle getting ready to take place here. And a lot of Second Amendment groups are stepping in with some pretty predominant lawyers to help defend this gentleman, because this is a pretty flagrant violation of both his First, Fourth, Second, and probably a whole bunch of other rights that he's got. So anyway, we're going to keep an eye on this case right now. I'd still go out and download these plans so we can, again, if you're not creating a gun to sell it across state lines, there is nothing that they can do to restrict your ability to create a weapon like this. So he's also developed that metal 3D printing machine that would actually produce those lowers for the AR-15 packages. So, you know, he's really doing a lot. And I really like this idea that technology is breaking down the legal barriers, that people, you know, that people are being presented with right now in terms of gun ownership. So, 3D printing going to change the world, and it could possibly liberate a lot of people here in the United States from this ridiculous draconian drug laws that we've got going on here right now. Also, there's been a really interesting smartphone development. There's a group of scientists, that have managed now to create a system using a smartphone that will identify parasitic worms in your blood. There's a lot of issues targeting and treating diseases like this, and especially diagnosing infections early, and something like this being used out in the field in places like Africa is absolutely an amazing technological development. And this new application, and only a finger prick, they can find out if your blood is infected with any kind of parasite. And among the problems with dealing with those diseases is the fact that some people do react well to treatment and others, they do not. So this app can actually also tell whether or not you're going to react well to the treatment. So it actually doesn't detect any worms in your blood, but it focuses on detecting movement within the blood. And the whole system is very efficient and is being praised by experts out in the field. And now researchers are wondering if they can use a similar system to detect other diseases like TB, malaria, soil-transmitted parasitic worms, etc. And considering other recent advances in smartphones to detect diseases, there's a lot of reason right now to be optimistic. Columbia University scientists created a device that could detect HIV or syphilis and are on a pilot program testing it in Rwanda right now. And also a Massachusetts General Hospital, doctors are researching a tool that clips over a smartphone camera to detect cancer in the blood or other tissue samples. And to me, this is absolutely amazing technological advancement, and I like it when I see technological advancement going out into the field and actually being able to help people in a health standpoint. So that kind of moves us over into the health news in a somewhat nice tangent style here. Also, okay, so moving into the health news right now, there's been a new report, and this number was pretty startling to me. I didn't realize, A, that if you're an American, there's about a 1 in 3 chance that you're going to get cancer right now, and if you're a man, the odds are actually closer to about 1 in 2. And almost everybody in America right now either knows someone who is currently being treated for cancer or someone who has died from cancer. And it really wasn't always this way. Back in the 1940s, only about 1 out of 16 Americans would develop cancer. And so something's obviously clearly happened here. And this gentleman at American Dream did a really good job of breaking down exactly what he thinks is going on. And really what it comes down to is money. We've had this discussion a few times. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny will be on the program next Tuesday, and I'm sure she'll back us all up on this. But the number that astounded me was that just this year, so far, just this year, given the fact that it's May, guys, $100 billion has been spent just on cancer drugs in the United States just this year. $100 billion with a B. Now, $100 million would be a lot of money. That would be a fairly astounding amount of money. This is 1,000 times 100 billion, guys, or 100 million. This is a crazy, crazy amount of money. And again, you can see there's a lot of people who are becoming exceptionally wealthy based on selling you guys this idea that you can treat your cancer. Just absolutely crazy. Some of these prescriptions are more than $12,000 a month. So cancer, big business in the country, ladies and gentlemen. Lots more health news I could not get to. We do have to go to this break, and we'll be joined by the one and only Sharon Lynn Wyeth here in just 1 second. Keep it right here, guys. 3 minutes. Break. We'll see you on the other side.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to ouruniversaljourney.com.au.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Real people, real radio.
Initiating the truth frequency.
This is Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. And thank you all who are hanging out in the chat room right now. It is so nice to have the family surrounding us here in the morning. The Truth Frequency family is just so important because without you guys, I'd be talking to my cat right now, and he's heard all this before. So I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate all of you guys hanging out on the live stream as well. And definitely want to recommend you guys get an opportunity to get to the phones today, because we are going to open up the phone lines here as soon as I can get connected to the phone line system. I'm working on that right now. But in the meantime, very, very, very excited to be welcoming back to the program the one and only Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Now, we had her on a few weeks ago, maybe it's been about a month or so now, we had a huge response. Super, super interesting topic here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, she's written a book called Know the Name, Know the Person. And I do definitely recommend you guys check that book out, because we're talking about a system that she has developed called Nameology. And essentially what it is a way to understand how a person's personality is affected by the name that they have been given or the name that they go by. Super duper interesting. And I'll tell you, again, a lot of great questions from the audience last time, and a lot of people very excited to have Sharon back on the program today. So first and foremost, Sharon, thank you so much for taking some time out to join us on the program today.
Oh, JD, this is my pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. So, okay, here's the story, ladies and gentlemen. I want to kind of start from the beginning again, because we do have a lot of listeners. Sharon, I don't know if you know, but we hit our first major milestone here at the Red Pill Reports this week. We actually made our 6-month anniversary just on Monday, and we're very excited to continue going off into the future. But because we are still growing as a radio show, we have a lot of new listeners that tune in all the time, and I don't want to leave anybody in the dust. So as far as your background goes, I know that you were a math teacher for a very, very long time, and we won't date you here, but for a very good long time, you were in the education system. And I'm wondering, what is the nexus, or maybe you could describe that transition, how you went from being, a math instructor to somebody who developed this entirely new, are we calling it a scientific system or a philosophical system?
It is a science system, because anybody can repeat it and get the same results.
There you go. So how did that transition take place?
Well, in my 7th year of getting ready to teach for the year, you're given all those names at the beginning, and I was a middle school teacher, and I started putting down the names, and I realized that I had certain behavior expectations from certain kids, literally based on their name, and I was kind of embarrassed when I noticed I was saying, like, right away, oh, I don't want to put Joshua next to Julie because together they'll be clowns, but separated they'll be okay. And Stephanie's never going to want to move her seat because she's going to be really stubborn, and Derek's going to need extra help. And then it dawned on me, oh my gosh, I don't even know these kids. But because I've been around so many names that are the same, I now have behavior expectations for people with that name. So I decided to write down everything I was feeling about each person based on their name. And I said, I'm going to put it away for 3 months till winter break and then find out, you know, if it's accurate or not, because I want to get to know the kids for who they are. And I was so amazed when I did look at that list in my notes that I went, okay, there's patterns here. So subconsciously, I've picked something up, and how do I make it conscious? So I started with just lists. There was a plethora of Davids in my life. And I wrote down through observation on a column for each one what I had observed about their behaviors. You know, anything I could describe with using an adverb or an adjective. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, anything that's the same, it's got to come from their first name. And if it's different, it's got to come from their middle or last name. And I really started looking for patterns. Now, I've taught math I've taught it for 30 years or more. And so I've taught every grade from third through a 4-year college university. And I have my master's. And so I looked at it, and my brain is so well trained in patterns. I said, we've got to be able to figure this out. Now, it did take me 15 years to figure out all the nuances. Oh, and then I traveled for 3 years teaching it and talking about it to fine tune it. And then I came home and everybody kept saying, where's the book? Where can we find out more? So when I got through traveling and fine tuning it, I came and wrote the book.
Well, that's great. My first question was going to be, how long did the process take? And you're talking about 15 years and you're fine tuning. Are you still finding yourself making adjustments to the program as you're going forward? I mean, is there still fine tuning to be done?
Not on the personality side. I'm now working on the purpose. Your life purpose is in your name. And I'm hoping to have that book out by August. And where my research is now taking me, because that part's complete too. I just am a slow writer. You know, math people are not fast and quick at writing. So the next research part that I'm working on right now is health issues or health possibilities that are connected with the names in different letter placements.
Wow. That sounds incredibly fascinating, Sharon. So what is it then? Have you isolated what it is about someone's name that has such a profound effect upon them? Like, I guess I'm still trying to get my mind around where that correlation actually lies, Sharon.
Well, every sound, according to somatics, every sound has a vibration that goes with it. And what I've done is attached a behavior characteristic that goes with that vibration.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then it's the combination of different letters in the phonetical sense that really has the most profound effect.
Well, the phonetics makes a difference, and just the letters themselves, because around the world we don't always pronounce them the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at both. The letters themselves are the strongest. And then if, like, let's say you have a C, sometimes it sounds like an S, sometimes like a K. Uh-huh. And so you adjust it a little bit according to the sound. But the core of what that means is all the same. And it's the same regardless of language, depending on, you know, the spelling and everything. But as long as they're using our alphabet, it works.
Wow. This is just so fascinating to me because, you know, you kind of just hit on one of my first questions is the subtle differences between pronunciations of names spelled the same way. So you're saying that the name spelling is the most fundamentally important, but that if some people, who's potentially have their name spelled the same way, but are in different language orientations who pronounce them in different ways, there is a correlation then into a change in personality, Sharon?
Yes. It's a very subtle difference.
Okay.
It's very subtle, but yes, it matters. Because like a C that sounds like an S,
mm-hmm.
or what I call a sharper C, okay, those people are a lot more controlling or want to be in charge and in control than the people, and they want to do it for their own learning. And the people where the C sounds like a K, they're more interested in being in charge and control because of how they can help others. So the end result is they want to be in charge and in control, and they're very charismatic, okay? So we normally don't mind them being in charge and in control.
Right.
But their motivation behind it shifts a little bit because of the sound difference.
Wow. So, you know, and this is so fascinating to me because you've already brought up somatics, and, you know, for people out there who don't know, somatics is basically the study of frequency on matter, and you can show really distinctly through very, very simple experimentation that frequency does, in fact, affect matter. But that kind of brings me back to maybe it's a little deep question for an early morning on a Friday, but I'm trying to kind of to get my mind around the relationships that exist inside of conversation, because conversation generally itself is an exchange of information, an exchange of energy, so to speak. So when you come to someone and you say, my name is, you are, you know, projecting onto someone else who is receiving that information, this is what's so interesting to me, Sharon, is that you basically are saying that it's consistent across the board, which means everybody who is receiving that signal input from whoever is broadcasting their name, we all end up with the same basic interpretation on a subconscious level. And I'm wanting to kind of delve into the frequency side of that, if that's not too deep, or if you understand kind of where I'm going with that, Sharon.
I really do feel that we do. I think subconsciously we get it. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we say, who are you? And people answer with their name, it's like saying, this is who I am. And if you understand how to interpret it, you know me.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is so profound. The fact that it's consistent across the board to me, Sharon, is just what makes it so interesting, because it really does play into this idea of a collective unconsciousyou know, you've got to have that deeper level where you can actually recognize something like that in someone else. But it's also really fascinating to me, this idea of the, you know, like a pillar of identification, this idea that we all only have one singular name, and that becomes kind of our foundation for our personality, and we put all of the things in it that we want to put in it. But there's also this idea that there's an external expectation of your name. And you want to focus maybe on that for just a second, talk about how important it is to recognize the significance of an individual's name, Sharon.
Sure. The birth name really gives us our purpose and why we're here and what we came to learn and what we came to share. Now, some people go by nicknames, which says I'm going to present a different part of me, or I'm only going to show the world a certain part. But underneath, whatever the birth name is, that's what's running underneath. And then whatever we're called or however we introduce ourselves, that literally says this is the part I'm willing to share. The first name represents the essence of who we are. The middle name represents our past and where we go under stress and what we're most comfortable with. And our last name represents our environment and what we're pulling to us. And that is why everybody with the same first name isn't all the same. It's like saying you've got the same ingredients in your kitchen, but your last name is going to tell you what the different recipes are that you're going to make out of those same ingredients.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I want to really recommend to people, check out a couple of websites here, knowthename.com and also bestnamemeanings.com. You can also find Sharon on Facebook and Twitter. You can follow the links from redpillreports.com and say hello to her there. Sharon, I guess another question I would have then is, given all of the information that you've got about people's names, what kind of advice would you give to people out there who might be thinking, you know, okay, we're pregnant, we've got to come up with a name for our child now. What are some good guidelines to go by so you're not, I don't know, dooming your child to some, I keep hoping I'm going to meet a woman that's going to allow me to name my kid like Maximilian McAwesome, but I don't think that's really good now that I've listened to what you're saying. So maybe some guidelines, to help people steer themselves and steer their children away from being doomed. Might be in order.
I would just say that the letter M, I think, is one of the most difficult letters to have in a name, mm-hmm. because life is just more challenging and you have to work harder. So Maximilian, I would say, wow, what a load.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So what I've done from literally interpreting over 30,000 names now, I have realized that so many souls impress upon the one that's going to be naming them that what they want to be called, that I really believe it happens for everybody at some level. Because the stories I've heard, the consciousness of parents or uncles, or depending on the different cultures, who gets to name the child, it's really apparent that the child is really impressing upon them what they want to be called, so that we name ourselves. And we get that either consciously or unconsciously, but I think it's always happening.
Wow.
And so what I say is, once that impression is made and you've got this sense of my child wants to be this name, then call me and I'll help you with the spelling. A C and a K can sound alike.
Right.
But it can mean different. And so we'll ease it up and say, let's give that soul the lessons they came to learn, but just let's make it easier to get those lessons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. So then what you basically are saying is that it's probably better to let your child be born and have a few hours or days with them and get that impression upon Actually being with them as a being out of, you know, in public.
I don't think the child has to be born. I think the child conveys, I mean, my daughter conveyed her name to me before I had ever even met her dad.
Oh, wow.
And my son, I was married by then, and my daughter ended up being my second child, but my son, my husband woke up and said, "Our son came to us last night." And I said, "I don't even know if I'm pregnant."
Right.
However, I had a dream that our son came to me too. And his dad said, you know, he gave me his name. And I go, me too. Go in the other room and write it down, because as a teacher, I can read upside down and everything else, and I'll figure out what you're doing.
Right.
So go in the other room and write down what you got, and I'll stay here in this room and I'll write down what I got. And we both got Joshua.
No.
I got Joshua Jedediah, and he got Joshua Jeremiah. And I said, okay, we've got a Joshua J coming.
Wow.
And I didn't find out for another month that I was pregnant. And so then 2 weeks before our child came, his dad had another dream, and he said, our son came to me again, and he said, why do you always go with her? That's why I had to come to you. She didn't get my middle name right. I don't want to be a Jedediah. I want to be a Jeremiah. But the really cool thing is, yes, we named him Joshua Jeremiah. The coolest part, though, was when he was between 2 and 3 years old and he was talking a mile a minute.
Right.
Already. He came to me one night. His dad was TDY in the service. And he came to me one night. In the middle of the night, he got up and he says, Mom, you almost got my name wrong.
No, you're joking.
But excuse me, what are we talking about? You know?
Right.
I mean, he hadn't even talked about names. He's too young. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, I had to go to Dad because you got my name wrong.
I am seriously floored right now, Sharon, like full body chills right now.
And I have heard stories like that all around the world where I've gone. And parents have just known.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've heard stories of children talking about selecting their parents out before they even, you know, before the parents knew about it, saying, I thought you were going to be a good mom, so I decided that I was going to be your child. I've heard all kinds of stories like that. And you also hear all kinds of crazy stories about people remembering past lives. Do you think that there is a name that people carry with them through past lives, Sharon?
I think our current name that we have, I think we have a spiritual name. I think the current name that we have really represents our goals and our personality for this particular lifetime.
Okay.
And I think it can change. And the reason I say that, it may sound kind of weird, but I'm at an age now where people have died and come back, and there's a few that I've recognized the soul.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I've really, it really hit me. I thought, oh my gosh, this is reincarnation. I know you. You know, and I've recognized the soul, and the names are so different the second time through. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? The middle name is what's giving us what they did in the last life. And so that's their past, and that's, of course, where they go when they're under stress, because they had a whole lifetime doing that. And now they're building on it. And you can look at the name and say, when you're comparing first name with middle name, and say, ah, this is where they're growing. This is where they're taking that knowledge from last time a step further.
Wow, that is so fascinating, especially getting into the middle name and this idea that that's where you go when you're stressed. I want to just clarify for listeners exactly what we're talking about there. You're saying that you would essentially take on the personality of that name, and so all of the qualifications that you would see normally if that was a first name and somebody else would be kind of your go-to situation when you were under stress. Am I clear on that, Sharon?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Okay. And so why is that so significant? I mean, for people to understand, really, because we do talk a lot about that here as far as, you know, a lot of people put a lot of faith in their middle name, and we talk about the family name being so important. But the fact that you bring up the middle name as being something also significant, I just want to make sure we drive that home for people, Sharon.
Well, it shows what your pattern was and where you're growing from. And often the middle name will have quite similarities with the parent's name, which really lets me know that our kids come in as our teachers. And we have to keep being flexible. I mean, how many of us get stuck in a pattern by the time we have kids, and especially by the time we're grandparents, and that we don't want to change anymore? And these kids come along, and if you compare the names, they're just fabulous names with the grandparents' names so often to really show us and teach us and to learn from us. I mean, when my granddaughter was born, I looked at her name. Of course, my kids did not talk to me about it because they say she knows way too much the minute you say a name.
Right.
And so when my granddaughter was born, I went, oh good, she's going to get along with me so well. And then I thought, oh, and she's going to want me to teach or share this understanding that I have with her based on this name.
That's just so fascinating. I mean, I'm really floored right now because what you're basically saying is that you're able to take information that most people wouldn't be able to get and start guiding children's lives and your family because of this lineage of names that's coming down through the family generations. That's just so profound to me because it's just another perspective on how you can set your children up for success in this world, you know, and that's just so something refreshing, I think, Sharon, just to put it mildly, something that we need. What about awful names? Are there people or names that you've heard before where you just like, you get a party and somebody says, hey, this is blah, 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 and you're like, I'm not going to talk to that guy. Oh my God.
We were doing a fundraiser at a school when I was in Washington State, and the kids came up and donated $5, and they came up in groups, and every child donated $5, and I did a quick read for every child. Uh-huh. And they were, and I had them do it on index cards because I need to be able to visually see it and not hold all those names in my head. And there was this one group of index cards I got, and I looked at this one name, and I thought, boy, I'm doing him last. And when I got to him, I looked at his name, and I thought, this is a date raper.
No.
And I said, how do I tell him something positive when there's all these ears around and all of his buddies? And so I said to him, you know, physical touch is very important to you. Now, all of his buddies know what he's doing. They all went, oh, man, she's got you and everything. Right. And I looked at him and I said, you came to think and to learn about what your actions and how they affect somebody else before you take the action. To see something from somebody else's point of view and how your choices and actions will affect that other person. And if you can be successful in this, maybe you can stay out of jail. Okay, next group.
So you're here on a crash course in empathy learning, buddy. That's exactly what's going on.
You know, I thought, how can I give him something that's of value, mm-hmm. that's fast and quick, without anybody being able to accuse me of saying something negative?
Right. Well, and that sounds like that's important. And I do appreciate that because we don't want to drag anybody's name, you know, down through the mud. But what about people that you've met who have you ever met someone who's like clearly identified by the wrong name? Where you've met them and be like, well, you're not this person at all.
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. It's like some people... they come up and they don't feel like they're with that name. And it's really interesting because once I've interpreted the name for them and say, let me give you what this name says for you. Let me tell you how this works, you know? Uh-huh. And so once I share that, so often they go, oh, now I get why I had that name. And then they're making a conscious choice. Some people will say, I get it now and I'm going to stay with the name. Now I appreciate it. And others say, been there, done that, understand it, and now I want to move on. And then I say, okay, what do you want to do next? Let's come up with letters, and then we can play with the letters like Scramble and see what names we could get out of those letters that will now support you in what you're choosing next.
Wow, that is so cool that you can actually go down to the letter and then use a shuffling of letters to come up with a name. I want to get back to that in just one second, but I wanted to ask you quickly about or just kind of to follow up on what you're talking about. My cousin, I have a cousin who was born Stacy, and she was never very happy with that name Stacy. And I think when she was 18, she went and legally had it changed to Linnea. And I wish I knew the spelling of Linnea, but I just wondered if maybe you could touch on the qualitative differences between somebody who was born a Stacy and then moving to something to me, which is just an absolutely beautiful name of Linnea.
Well, I want to know if the Stacy is an EY or a Y.
It was an EY, as far as I know.
Okay, that's why she had a problem with it, because she was a rescuer. And she had to take on and rescue all the people around her. Now, I love the fact that when she went from an S, the first letter, to an L, the first letter, that's the same complementary characteristics, just from a different angle. So she wasn't changing that part. And she made herself stronger with the Y as the first vowel than the A. I mean, she really gave herself a lot of the same lessons, just from different perspectives, than what she had before. So let me explain that a little bit, if I could.
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. So let's say we have the letters a J, a W, and an S. Everything, you don't have to have one letter to get one quality. It's always represented by two or three letters, just at different angles. So these are all ones that are very important to be intelligent for these people. It does not mean that if you don't have these letters, you're not smart. It does mean that these people being smart is what they seek and what they go after because it's so important. So the S says, I'm smart and I want to learn, but I need somebody to teach me. It's what I call school smart. I need somebody right there to show me how it works. Now, the minute I catch on, go away, leave me alone, I got it. I can build the rest of the house myself. Okay. But I need somebody to show me the basics. That's the S. Now, when I get to the J, it says, I'm naturally intuitive. I'm naturally brilliant. I'm street smart. I just figure things out. I get it. And J's are people that came to follow their own lead. They can't follow somebody else. They are our brilliant ones that go down the path less traveled by. And they're intuitive brilliant and street smart brilliant. Then you get to the W. And the W says, I don't like making the same mistake twice. So I'm going to get out there and pack on my experiences. And I'm going to mess up over here, but I'm not going to mess up twice in the same way. I'm going to make brand new glorious mistakes that I can learn from because I learn through experiences. So learning and growing is important to all three letters, but they do it all differently.
Wow. This is just so fascinating, Sharon. I really can't thank you enough for taking the time out to join us and also for writing this book. I want to ask you a little bit about some of the other baby name books that are out there. There's other books out there that list, you know, the qualities of baby names. Are they accurate at all or are they just complete garbage at this point?
They give an idea, but they don't give specifics and they don't tell you how they got that.
That's true.
You know, you get like a sentence or you get a few words and I'm going, I can talk for an hour on a name. Oh my gosh, how are you going to synthesize that into a few sentences or a few words? And for your listeners, right now our name app is 99 cents. So if you just want the generic first name because it's way too complicated to program or didn't know how to write the program, I should say, for dropping the first name into the last name and all the possibilities and how to figure it out. But the first name, your generic first name without the influence of your environment is 99 cents for Name Meanings is the app.
Wow. And so what do we get from that? What kind of information do you get? So you can test any name basically and get your insight on it?
You can test any first name to say this is it's their first name. Mm-hmm. So that would be the essentials of who they are.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's available at which one? Know the name or?
No, that's Name Meanings. It's on the iPhone or it's an iApp.
Oh, okay. Okay. So cool. It only works on iPhone? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, no. That's okay, how great. I developed it, but it works on any phone now.
Okay, great.
It works anywhere. But the name of the app is Name Meanings. And I literally invested in doing that simply because so many people would say, well, what does my name mean? And I thought, oh my God, I would have time to do nothing but interpret everybody's name form. So here, this gives you an idea of the first name without the influence of the environment.
Very
and it's
nice.
Long.
Very, you get a lot of information instead of just one sentence in one of these books to get back to one of my questions from the chat room there.
Yes, you'll get about at least 2 pages worth of information.
Man, absolutely outstanding. We are getting ready to go to this quick 3-minute break, Sharon, so you stay right there. Listeners, appreciate you guys hanging out in the chat room right now. If you guys have questions, please put them into the chat room. Also, the phone lines are open right now, 866-378-7884. Hopefully, I'll be able to connect you guys through Skype, but if you guys have questions or would like to have your name discussed, we have a couple of other people who would like to have their names looked at by you, Sharon. When we come back from the break, we'll do that and just keep moving on forward. Really appreciate you being here. Appreciate all you listeners out there. 3-minute break. We'll be right back on the other side, guys. Keep it right here.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your coworkers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend, Joe Joseph, is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sil, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sil?
He's part of the family now, T.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him. Right here on Freedom Link, Monday through Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including all heavy metals. We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine Now. Only at hempusa.org.
We all know the importance of having storable foods, but what about when the food runs out? What then? For real food independence, you need a supply of non-hybrid seeds. Introducing the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. The Survival Seed Vault is sealed for freshness and includes 20 varieties of easy-to-grow non-hybrid seeds for only $37.95. For less than $40, you've got real food independence, and the Survival Seed Vault includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions. Imagine the barter power you'll have when the food supply does collapse. Right now, save $9 instantly when you buy three or more Survival Seed Vaults from MyPatriotSupply.com. Same day shipping on all orders, plus free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness products at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Ministries with Kenneth Emanuel.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. We are moving into the final segment with our very special guest today, Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Very excited to be having her on the program today. We're talking about names, ladies and gentlemen. The one little word that we all identify with as the person that we present to the world. And Sharon has developed a system called Nameology that breaks down exactly what your name can tell you about who you are and about your prospective personality and how you might get along with others. Absolutely fascinating stuff. And we did go ahead and open up the phone lines. They are filling up quickly. So if you guys want to get in line, 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884. And Sharon, I do want to hop to the phone lines really quickly, but I wanted to touch on one quick question that I thought of during the break. You had talked about being at this party and recognizing an individual as being somebody who was kind of unsavory. And in my mind, I was thinking about Mr. Jimmy Savile, that we've now been hearing all these stories coming out of the UK about him being, again, not a very savory character. And I won't get into a whole lot of detail on that. But I'm wondering if your nameology would have identified Mr. Jimmy Savile as somebody that people probably would have wanted to avoid, Sharon.
Well, it depends if you want to avoid or not. If, just like this date raper that I identified immediately from the name, I thought if people want to have a lot of sex, he's not somebody you want to avoid. So it really depends on what you're looking for. So I'm not judging anything as I'm saying what's in the name. I'm just identifying it.
Okay, fair enough. That sounds fair to me. Let's hop over into the phone lines, if that's okay with you, Sharon. We do have a few callers. Let's take one from Tampa, Florida. First time caller from Tampa, Florida. Go ahead. You are on the air with Sharon Lynn Wyeth and JD. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I just would like to know what you could tell me about my name.
Okay. Do you have a speaker on in the background, sir? We got a little bit of a feedback thing going on.
Yeah, is that better?
That's so much better. Okay, go ahead, sir.
We need your name for me to do it.
You can tell me about my name.
Yeah, well, go ahead and give us your name.
Brett with one.
I'm sorry, what was that,
Brett,
sir?
With one T.
Brett with one T.
B-R-E-T,
sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and can I, if you don't want to identify your whole last name, I need at least the first letter in the last name.
Oh, it's Hudgens, H-U-G-G-E-R.
Hudgens, H-U-G-G?
H-U-D-G.
H-U-D-G, Hudge, okay.
Brett. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh,
you intimidate others or can intimidate others because you can be really intense at times because you want to be the very best and you're very competitive at what you do. And since your drive is to be the very best that you can be, it makes you very strong but very intense at times. And so there's different times when people are uncomfortable around you and you're looking at them going, what's up with you? How come you're uncomfortable around me? And it's simply because you're so competitive and that energy comes across. You know, and you're so sensitive that you can feel it when other people are doing that. But I'll tell you, with your name, you can just go with the flow and work hard and you would succeed at anything you could keep your focus on. And I say that, keep your focus on, because you have so many different interests that you could scatter yourself. But if you can stay focused, your whole name says not only successful, but highly successful.
Well, there you go, Brett. What did you think? Did she hit the nail on the head?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, actually.
It is pretty amazing.
I don't understand how she could do that.
Well, you're going to have to get the book,
awesome.
Man.
Well, I would. Yeah, definitely. I know you guys got a lot of people on the line waiting there. Similar thing, so I'll let you go. I do thank you.
All right, Brett. Well, we appreciate you calling in, and you take care and enjoy your weekend, sir. We'll talk to you soon. Let's hop into another phone call here. I have someone on the line from Wisconsin, Sharon. We have got a new caller from Wisconsin. You are on the air with Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And Sharon. My name is Jelaine.
Jelaine, okay.
It's Jelaine, and spelled J-U-L-A-I-N-E.
Okay. And the first letter of your last name, if you don't want to give the whole thing?
Is K. And my middle name is Mary. All of my sisters and myself are named with that same middle name.
Huh. All right, let me talk about the name Mary's and Maria for just a minute. Mary's and is a little bit better version of Maria. That is the most sacrificial name out there. And what I mean by that is they sacrifice for the good of the whole for everybody else. And so that tells you that that's your past. So that's what creeps into your present that says, I need to take care of the people around me. They really sacrifice for the good of the whole. All right. In both the name Maria and Mary, those are the two names that do it the most. Maria's really do it. And Mary's are like, I'll sacrifice for the people of my choice, but they're still sacrificing for the good of the whole. All right. So when I'm looking at your name, Julianne, you are brilliant. Now, what I love about your name, I was just talking about those J's and that you came to be the leader and to follow your own path. But you gave yourself such a delightful work ethic that says, I'll get my work done, but my life is not all about work. I need to have fun. I need to play. You've got this great sense of humor. And you've got a combination in your name that literally most millionaires that have successful marriages have that combination in their wife's name.
What combination is that?
Oh, I don't give that away.
What? I gotta know. We have to know that. That's gonna be on my top of my list now. What are you talking about?
And what's really cool about that is because you can hold your own while you're supporting somebody else without going into competition, without being regretful that they're more successful or not or anything. It's like the best supportive name out there at the same time that you can hold your own and you can grow for yourself. It's a fabulous name. You're just a little bit too generous with your time, and so you don't get everything done every day you'd like to get done because you're so busy helping everybody else.
The one thing I've done over the years, because I was tired of people inverting the A and the I and calling me Julianne, is I got rid of the I.
So it's Jelaine. Interesting. The I stands in that particular place in your name stands for independence.
Uh-oh.
And, And when you took it out, you have a new combination in your name that says, now I've got to work harder to make the world a better place to live in, where before I didn't have to work so hard to make it a better place.
Okay. I might go back to the I.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, for sure.
And it just teaches how to say it. It's just like, I have to always say there's an accent on my O, so it's Sharon. But it's so many people on their computers don't know how to do that, so they call me Sharon, and I just always constantly remind them it said Sharon. And you can do the same thing with yours. And
all
then
right.
You get a telemarketer's calling because they can't say your name. It's great.
Oh, boy. Well, thank you, Sharon. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for calling in, Julianne. That was absolutely an amazing call. And let me know if you're not doing anything later. Maybe we get together or something. Just kidding. Just kidding. Appreciate the phone call. You enjoy the rest of your day. Have a wonderful weekend. And let's hop into another phone call. One of my very favorite people, Miss Fran, you are on the air with Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Sharon and JB. I'm glad you're doing well. And wishing you both and everyone else a happy Mother's Day coming up, for that matter. Obviously, this is Francis. I've got a rather strange question for you, Sharon. Obviously, generally the male in the family, whenever they have, especially for male children, they will insist upon, or at least they used to long ago, insist upon having the child named after them. And the almost name for name, first, middle, and last, unless the mom keys in and says, no, you can throw this name in, but we need to do this name and this name or whatever. To the point that it almost seems like as if the child is being burdened by so many different names of the intention of the parent. So the question is, is the child actually doing better because of that?
I love that question, Francis. Because I so thoroughly believe that a child impresses upon the one naming them what they want to be called, that I think that child chose that name. Now, if you're the third or the senior, those subtitles are great. But if you're a junior, you're really coming in to push all the buttons of the parents. Because if you look at junior and how that translates out, it literally says, I'm going to give you all the challenges and show you and demonstrate for you alternative choices that you had that may not have been what you chose because you chose to respond how somebody else expected you to. And they give themselves a lot more freedom. And they try a lot more things. So I think the name junior burdens somebody. But the other way is, think about it, if you're so close to somebody, when it's good, it's really, really good. And when it's bad, it's horrific. But you share so much that you have the same communication style, you have the same basic interest. You've really come in to say, I am so wanting to learn from my parent with that same name. I want to get all of it. I don't want to miss a thing.
True. Now, you said that a junior or senior, what if the child has been named as a third?
The third is great. The third simply says, I'm going to be the strongest one yet. I'm going to know how to handle conflicts. I'm going to be highly independent. I'm going to be family oriented. Where if it's a senior, it's very good. They have fairness issues. They want to do it right. They're constantly learning. And they're empathetic to the family members. But the junior is the one that goes off the board and really brings in all the challenges and the difficulties. And so my personal choice would say I would never name somebody a junior. I'd name them the second.
Good point. Well, you folks have a great weekend, okay?
You do the same, Fran. Thank you very much for calling in. We always appreciate your phone calls. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend. You know, and you kind of brought up an interesting point there, Sharon, that I wanted to touch on, too, is this idea that, you know, the guys are generally the ones who are naming their kids. If it's going to be like a, you know, a succession of names, like my father's John, my name's John. And we also, in my family, use all the middle names. All my middle names are the first names of my, the father figures in my family going back. But I was wondering. wondering, because you had told that story earlier about how your son basically came to both you and your husband in a dream. I wonder if maybe the men's side were maybe a little bit more receptive to being able to focus on that that impression that we're getting. Because, like you said, you got the impression, but it wasn't exactly accurate. And even your son had to come back later when he was two and tell you all about it. You know?
Yes, still likes to point out when I'm wrong.
Right, exactly.
This day. When I look at that, I think it depends on the culture. Because like in Turkey, it's the oldest male family member. It's not even your parents. And in different cultures, it could be the shaman, or it's not always the parent that names. Okay? Mm-hmm. And in every culture, it's different. And what I've learned from the travels is that the child impresses upon the one that in that culture would be the one naming them. So often the female's name in this culture, mm-hmm. and then the dad gets input. And I think the dad gets the impression, just as my son taught me, if the female doesn't get it right. Because I think the souls are very specific on, no, I want this name. Who do I have to go to? What do I have to do to make sure they're getting the right impression?
Right? Wow, that's so interesting.
And how many times have the parents had a name in mind, and then they meet the child and they go, oh no, it's a this one. And they totally change it.
Oh, I'm sure it happens often.
It does, because they didn't receive it clearly, or they weren't listening.
Right.
And when they meet the child's saying, hey, I need this name, you know, and just gets that right across.
Well, I think that's probably one of the most important lessons that we're learning today, is that you've got to understand that that your name does affect you, and that your soul might be reaching out for a specific one, and you have to be opened and over to receive that. So I just like the fact that we're kind of opening minds here to allow people to have that impression that they are, you know, participants in the naming, and not just, you know, inflicting something on someone else, that there is an exchange going on. I wanted to hop to a question from the chat room. A lot of people picking on one of our other hosts here on the network, whose name is Kevin, but he goes by Kev. And I'm wondering if you wanted to just touch on those two names really quickly for our good friend Kev Baker over at the Kev Baker Show.
Yes. He would have a great sense of humor, by the way, and be a natural leader and very independent and have just a spectacular memory.
I think all of that is incredibly accurate. Any difference between the Kevin and the Kev, though?
Yes. When he's Kev, he's more charming. When he's Kevin, he's getting into the details. And when he gets into that minutia, sometimes he can drive people crazy with all the minutia.
Wow. Hope you're listening, Kev. That was all for you, brother. And all the people in the chat room are saying, yep, she's on it. She totally nailed him. Let's hop back over onto the phone board here real quick. We do have some more calls. And if you'd like to get a call in here, we also have the lines open, 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884. We have a call from my very favorite state in the union, Washington State. New caller from Washington State. You are on the air with Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, like she said, my name is Pamela, but I go by Pam. I never go by Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother gave me a strange middle name. It's Marree, M-A-R-R-E-E, with that accent on the last E, so it's like Renee. And I was wondering, is there any, it's so strange, I never use it. And I've never told anybody, so now everybody knows.
Right, and Pam, you're... If you don't want to give your last name, your last name starts with a W, is that correct?
Yeah. How'd you know?
Well, it shows up on the phone board.
Never mind. Never mind, you know.
Yeah. So, okay, Pam.
But that's my married name.
Oh, okay.
But that's my married name.
Okay, so.
So my maiden name started with a C.
So what's the difference between married and maiden? Because I always ask when I'm doing a reading, you know, is this maiden or is this married? It's because when I'm doing a reading, I ask for the series of names from birth all the way down to order, because I can give you your history of how you changed, what lessons, where your focus changed, and all the way through. The married name says, mm-hmm. now I have a new environment. It's different than when I had my maiden name. So you read it a little bit differently. But with your name, you really ask Pam about that middle name. That middle name says... that in the past, whether it's a reincarnation past or wherever we come from before we're here, it says, I had to really be careful of other people trying to manipulate me. And I was alone a lot, whether it was by choice or by circumstances. I spent a lot of time alone. But during that time that I spent alone, I learned to be empathic. I could feel what was going on with other people. They didn't have to say they were having a bad day. I could just tell. So you're bringing that forward, and your first name this time says, with that as your middle name, says, I'm quite intuitive, but I don't share a lot of what I get with my intuition because it's more private to you. And you like your alone time occasionally because you need to rebalance yourself because other people draw energy off of you. And by dropping the Ella at the end of Pam, you're really saying, I don't want to get caught up in ego. I want to be able to be observant, see what's happening, help the people around me, and not get caught up with ego. And so by dropping the end of my name, it's going to help me not go to the ego place and get out of balance. Because the majority of your name says, I need to stay balanced between mind and emotions, and yet I'd like to bury some of my emotions and wish I didn't have them, you know, and didn't have to deal with them. But I'm learning how to balance this lifetime.
Wow, you hit it on the head. Wow. I do have a story. My granddaughter was three. She came to her mother and she said, I have a little brother named Joshua. My daughter was not even pregnant. And so they moved to Italy, and my daughter calls me and she says, Mom, I'm pregnant. And I said, we're trying to find a name. And I said, you have to ask. He told you what the name was. So I know what you were talking about. That was a cool thing.
It's a very cool thing. Now, most Joshuas are absolutely brilliant. They're some of the smartest people on the planet, and they're also, they can be a bit obnoxious. So they have to learn some humility.
Right. he's 14. You got that right. But it's spelled German style because his family is German. So it's Josua.
Yeah, it's how I spelt my son's.
Okay.
They're brilliant. But they're the people, the boys whose names start with a J. So JD, this would be with you too.
Oh, I'm listening. All ears here.
Are some of the most difficult children to raise.
Yes.
Because they listen and then they go do what they want to do anyway. And it's very hard for a parent to get mad when they listened first and then they went ahead and did what they wanted to do. And so the very qualities and characteristics we would like in our adults, when we see them in our children, they're very difficult for some parents to deal with. And yet that's what's exhibited very early with a boy that starts with a J name. Now, the girls whose names start with a J, they could have reared themselves. They only need room and board. They're self-directed, self-on-target. They're the easiest ones to raise. They're trying to make up for the boys that are the J. Which reminds me, there was this family that I grew up with that had like six children, and they named all of them that start with a J. And any time a family has all names that start with the same letter, regardless of what that letter is, it means they're growing those children up to be highly competitive with each other and with life.
Wow.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you so much. That you hit it right on the mark.
Yeah, you're welcome, Pam.
Pam, thank you so much for calling in. I'm so excited, Sharon, because all these people keep calling in, and you're absolutely just nailing them. I know my dad is out in the chat room right now. I'm wondering if he wants to call in to back up what you were saying about the difficulty of raising boys with the letter J, but I won't push him into making that call if he doesn't want to. But I did have another question from the chat room, if that's okay. A friend of mine has a serious romantic interest in a young lady whose name is Diana, and her last name, her maiden last name, began with an S. And he was wondering about just anything you could say about someone with the name Diana. Also, when they do get married here in the future, her last name will begin with an L after that. So just in terms of what's going on with her name, if you could touch on that.
What's your friend's first name?
My friend's first name is Robert.
Okay, you can compare names, and when you have the full name of two people, you can say what's going to get on the nerves of the other one and where the problems are and where the glory is, all right?
Okay.
So Robert likes to lead, and he likes to nurture, and he likes to take care of the people around him, and he expects loyalty in return. He's a bit of a perfectionist.
Okay. Yes,
and
a bit.
So he wants everything to be perfect, and he thinks he's marrying the perfect girl, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem's going to be in this marriage is that she's a natural leader. And so he's going to have to share the bossiness. He's going to have to share the lead. And it's going to have to be that shared part, or else that's where the conflict will be, because she's very competent and she's very family oriented and she's just delightful and likable. And when her name goes from the S to the L, it's literally being married is going to give her more self-confidence, which means she's going to become an even stronger leader.
Wow, right.
Okay. Which means that he's going to have to know when to let go and just, she's going to be like a bird. You let her free and she'll always come back, but you try to cage her down, then there's going to be problems. So he just has to remember that she's a free bird. And family's very important, and she will stay focused on family, but you've got to let her share in the decision-making process and make some on her own.
Very cool. Man, super insightful. I love it, Sharon. Let's hop back over into the phone board here real quick because the calls are still coming in. You've got a few more minutes if you'd like to get your call in, 866-378-7884 or 866-37-TRUTH, ladies and gentlemen. And let's hop over. We have a phone call from North Carolina. Probably a new caller also. First time caller, North Carolina, you are on the air with Sharon Lynn Wyeth. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Hi, JD and Sharon. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, of course.
My name is Rhonda, R-O-N-D-A. My middle name is Lee, L-E-I-G-H. And my mom said she got my name off of a maternity dress when she was pregnant with me. And my maiden last name begins with Brown. I know. Is Brown. It begins with a B, of course. But I've always hated the name Rhonda. I hate it. I despise it. I don't like it. And I don't know why.
Okay, your middle name tells me that you're coming from feelings, okay, and that you're very sensitive and that you can feel what's really going on around you. And your first name says, I'm supposed to ignore those feelings and go with my head.
Ooh.
Okay, and I'm supposed to be logical and deductive and reasoning, and I'm supposed to be good in math, mechanics, music, you know, anything that's very practical and very logical. The reason you don't like your first name is because it says people will constantly try to take from you what you do not want to give.
Oh, that makes perfect sense.
You're kind of set up for an internal struggle there, is she not, Sharon?
It's an internal struggle, but the hardest part is how do people not take from me? They don't steal my ideas. They don't take advantage of me physically. They don't come and take my possessions without asking. How do I protect myself from people taking from me what I do not want to give? And that's a constant battle with that first name. And so the solution or the answers to all of our challenges in our name are also in our name. And so how you protect yourself is you always know somebody at least 2 years according to your name before you trust them.
So what do you think?
Oh, wow.
Are we accurate here today?
Completely, 100%. Yeah, I'm 53 years old, and it's been a constant struggle all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. She's exactly right.
But you don't trust for 2 years, sweetie, and that's how you'll keep that peace from happening for you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and everybody have a great weekend and a great Mother's Day.
You do the same. Thank you so much for calling in and for being a listener. Really appreciate that. Hey, I had one quick question also, Sharon, from the chat room. We had a caller last time, a friend of ours named Jeff, who was asking about his wife's name, and I think we got the spelling of his wife's name incorrect last time, so I wanted to ask you really quickly to follow up on this. The name is Erica, E-R-I-K-A, middle name Lynn, L-Y-N-N, and Fletcher is the last name, F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R. And I wonder if the change, last time he called in, I think he accidentally added an E to that Lynn name and just wanted to make sure that by dropping that, nothing had changed and he doesn't need to run out and, you know, address his situation or something.
The E makes a difference of time management. So without having the E there, she's better at time management than she would have been otherwise.
Okay, so just a fairly subtle change then.
Yep.
Very good. Very good. Well, Sharon, we are rapidly approaching the end of the program. We're actually just about out of time. I want to thank you very much again for coming onto the program and sharing all of this insight with us today.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. And remember that once you say your name, everybody knows all about you once they know Nameology Science.
Unbelievable. Go check out the book, Know the Name, Know the Person, ladies and gentlemen, and follow the links from Red Pill Reports to her website.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Sherry Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.